We turn to Joshua chapter 3, and we'll be looking together at verses 11 through 13. We're going to study the name, perhaps better said, the title of God today, the Lord of all the earth. The Lord of all the earth. Verses 11 and 13, you're going to see that name used. I'd like to read the entire chapter. I think that will be helpful just to have that context for us. A familiar story. I still think it would be nice to read it together. And we'll focus in this message on the name Lord of all the earth in that context, verses 11 through 13, the theme of our text this morning. Hear now the word of God. Joshua chapter 3, we'll read in its entirety. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters were come down from above, stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. Well, today we study the name revealed to us, the Lord of all the earth, the Lord of all the earth. And as we think about this true story and how God beckoned them to step into the water with him and then brought them through, can't help but think about what it can be like for a parent to be coaxing a child into the pool, into the swimming pool. The younger child especially is afraid to go in. But the father is reassuring the child, not by standing outside and saying, go ahead and jump in. Go on without me. You'll see it's okay. Rather, father or mother is standing in the pool and saying, look, I'm standing here. I can hold you. I can help you through. And he's beckoning the child to come in with them, knowing that they can be safe in the water. In fact, often he could say, this is my pool. I own it. You don't have to worry. I know it. I own it. Maybe I built it. So the child can get confidence by the presence of the parent there and their ownership of the situation and of the waters and step in and even walk. You know, at least thinking of the shallow side of the pool, a lot of times it can take a lot of work just to help the child see. You can walk. You can put your feet down. You can walk through these waters. I'm here. I'll hold you. I'll keep you safe. But you can touch. You can walk. You can make it through. Look at verse 13. Kind of have that idea here. It shall come to pass, verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon in heap. So certainly more than just saying, come into the swimming pool, saying, come into this river, and notice the context. It says at harvest time, the waters are overflowing. It's not the shallow time, you know. It's the deep time. It's when the waters are going to be moving probably more dangerous, stronger, more rough, more of a scary time to think about stepping into the river. But God is saying, come in, I'll be there, and when you step in, I'll part the waters, you'll be safe, you'll pass over. Significant also, verse 10, he's saying, I'm going to show Israel when I do this that I'm still with you, that I'm with you, Joshua, just as I was with Moses. Now remember, Moses, God used Moses to part another body of water, the Red Sea, and to deliver them from a people group and from a land of slavery. And now God is showing Moses is gone, but you, Joshua, who was with Moses and the people, I'm with you, and I'm going to continue to be with you and deliver you through this next body of water and into the promised land to take it over. They can go through the river. Why? Because of their own strength? No. They can go through the river because the Lord of all the earth shall rest in those waters and part them. The Lord of all the earth can easily be with them in this little body of water that's part of this grand earth that he's created. He made the land. He made the waters. He commanded the waters to separate into bodies. He's in charge of everything. He can do this because he made the waters, the earth, including the land on the other side that they are to inhabit. He's the Lord of all the earth, including Canaan on the other side that they're probably afraid to enter into as well. You can imagine, oh, here we are. Here, this big flowing Jordan River. Maybe we don't need to go into the promised land. Maybe they're starting to hearken back to what their parents had said who had died in the promised land for lack of belief. But you can see again, a lot of times the Lord will have something like the Jordan River before us. And we've got to cross. We've got to go through. We've got to trust he will part the waters and make safe passage for us as we step into it, and he'll bring us through to the other side. And then the thing is, what's on the other side is what we're probably even more scared of. And we can use that body of water, something that looks like an impenetrable thing, an impassable situation, as an excuse not even to go to where he's called us, not even to get to where he's bringing us together. But he's showing us, look, I own it all. I own that place over there I'm bringing you to. And I own the place that looks like an impassable place. I own it too, so I'll bring you through it. God calls upon his people to step out into what looks impassable, trusting that he is there to help them cross, continue, and conquer. I want to encourage you to be thinking about that as we're stepping into what you might say, for us at least, is uncharted waters. As we're looking into coming into a new denomination, and the Lord seems to be parting those waters already, but there are some uncharted things that we need to explore how to go through, yes, carefully, but also by faith. And not say, well, this is where we were hoping to be. We think he's calling us, but there seems to be this impassable river in front of us. So maybe we need to just not continue. God calls upon his people to step out into what looks, but is not, what looks impassable, trusting that he is already there to help them cross, to help them continue, and to help them conquer. Because he is there. He's the Lord of all the earth. He's not calling us to go where he is not already. I think that you and I often struggle to move forward because we feel as if we can't go because God isn't there. Certainly, Moses cries out to God in the book of Numbers, please go ahead with us. Don't send us on without you into the promised land. It would be better for us not to go if you don't go with us. But here God is saying, I'm with you. I'm still with you. I'm showing the people through you, Joshua. Through this river, I'm actually looking to increase your faith and give you assurance of faith. You see that, how God is using this river as a way to encourage. I'm going to bring you together through something that looks to be a discouragement and a boundary line you can't go past. Instead, I'm going to show you that I give you pleasant places of all the earth, as we sang in Psalm 16. The boundary lines for you, there's no boundary lines. I'm bringing you everywhere. They can walk through the water just like their fathers did with Joshua as Moses was leading at the Red Sea. It's the second time God is going to do something like this. They can walk through the Jordan just like the Red Sea because God owns all Egypt so he could take them out of it. God owns all of Canaan so he can bring them into it. God owns everything, all the time, everywhere. He is, as he reveals himself today to assure them of this, Lord of all the earth. He says it three times. Repetition is something to pay attention to. He wants us to make sure we know it, and he shows us we really need to know it. He is Lord of all the earth. So we can pass through whatever he calls us to, whatever roadblock it seems to be along our journey on this earth. He is in the process of taking back the entire earth right now. See, Satan thinks that he's taken it over after the fall. Prince and principalities of this world. That's why he fought so hard when Jesus came. The demons got really active because they essentially had their darkness over the world. Jesus came and now he's expanding it from Israel throughout all the world now. He's sending Israel now as this spiritual nation throughout the world. He's taking it all over. There's no place of the earth that isn't his. There's no place of it that he will not conquer. There's no place where there's anything we come across along the way that he can't say, no problem, I'm already there, I own it, come along, let's go. He's simply taking back as the mediatorial king what is rightfully his father's world. There's no place in this earth that he can't already put a banner and simply say what is already the truth. This is my father's world. And so there's no place that you can't follow him along, Christians, Christian soldiers. He's in the process of taking back what is already rightfully his, and all the waters along the way do not block his people's passage. In fact, we find they become their passageways, doorways of discovering that the Lord is the Lord of all the earth. Herbert Lockyer says that this name, Lord of all the earth, expresses God's proprietorship. Proprietorship. Children, think about that name. What can you hear as a root in proprietorship? Property. Proprietorship. This expresses that everything is God's property. The name, the Lord of all the earth, shows us that the entire earth is his property. And you and I don't think about it that way enough, and that's why we can often be very meek in trying to inhabit the earth with the kingdom of heaven, because we tend to think of it as the devil's or the world's. But they are, again, just renting, and they're abusing, and they're eventually going to be evicted from God's property. He's going to give it to his children, who he entrusts to take good care of it, through the Son, Jesus Christ. It is his priority. He owns it. This is speaking of God's ownership. So Israel can have confidence to carry on with its mission into the promised land on the other side of the Jordan River. Verse 10. Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. You are going to take over that land. Don't let this river, a boundary between you and the land, discourage you. I'm going to show you by bringing you through it that I'm going to bring you into the land and give it to you. It's mine. I'm taking it back now. I'm going to make it my people's land. And that is just an earnest of the entire world. That's, I think it's Scott, Walter Scott, I think is the name Herbert Lockyer quotes in his commentary that, you know, this is just an earnest. Canaan represents the entire earth. Joshua represents Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is presently conquering all the earth. Israel was just this little earnest of the land, and now it's expanding throughout everywhere. He owns it all. He's taking it all back. God goes before you in doing this so that you are confident to follow and do it. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. God goes before us. He gives us his signs of conquering. He's with us. He's not against us. He's with us. He'll never forsake us. He's already been doing that when he brought him out of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, with Christ, who was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, who was the rock, who provided the spiritual drink, the spiritual meat. This is still the case. Less visibly, more spiritually, it is still the case that Christ is with his church. He is building it throughout the earth, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this. It doesn't mean there won't be battles, just as there were. Joshua knew soon they will be walking around and taking over Jericho, but it'll be God who brings the walls down. Jesus has gone before you. He's already conquered death. He's already stepped and crushed on Satan's head. He's already bound Satan. He's already advancing throughout the world. He's already been resurrected from the dead and gives you the resurrection. You've already had in him the first resurrection of your souls, later the resurrection of your bodies. You will have a resurrected earth, if you will, a new heaven and earth to enjoy with him. He's gone before you. He's preparing a place for you that will come down out of heaven to inhabit this earth. It even speaks in the Revelation, there'll be no more sea, no impassable block between us and God and our loved ones. It'll, you know, that's not necessarily literal, but it's reflecting there'll be no boundary such as the Jordan River or the Red Sea to keep us from where God is bringing us. Jesus has gone before you. As God went before them in the river, so you can have confidence in his great commission. You can step out and call upon the world to trust in Christ. You can be about witnessing to your Father in heaven because this is your Father's world. You can call upon people to think about letting Christ pay their rent before it's too late. Otherwise, they will be evicted on the last day. You can speak with confidence. This is my Father's world. May it be that you will know him as your Father. God is sending this message to the Egyptians. God is sending this message to the Canaanites in the world through his church. Psalm 24, verses 1 to 2. The earth is not yours. That's the implication I'm giving it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Notice that connection. The earth is the Lord, but notice the floods and the seas. He's founded it all. God also is sending this message to the church to step out in faith with the gospel and walk with God through his world. Deuteronomy 10, verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heaven is the Lord's thy God's. We'll study that tonight with the name. He's the God of heaven. But not just that. He's not just the God of heaven. He is the God of the earth. The earth also is his with all that therein is. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. That's the message for you, church. So you remember to learn to act upon it like that. And the fact that he says the earth and everything in it is him, remember, includes every inch of you. Every inch of anything that you would call your property, including this place. Every inch of your heart is his. Especially as he has redeemed you, he has particularly put up a place in your life, and he owns you, all of you, and all within you. Abraham Kuyper speaks of this, both with you and with the world, and how we are to think and act and interact with the world. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. You see, that's what the world is doing, right? Mine, mine. But it's not theirs. They don't own it. They think it's theirs. They can abuse it. Actually, the problem is, people are more tempted to abuse something they don't own. God is going to give it to those who will take good care of it, physically, spiritually. Christ cries, it is mine. And you and I have to not say mine, but say it's his. Step out in faith knowing that it's his. And he calls you and I to be good stewards, spiritually and physically, witnessing the gospel and taking care of this earth as Adam and Eve were called by it. As I looked at the context, I changed the aspect of the message. But I would challenge us with this little side comment that you and I are responsible for this earth because God owns it. I think that should involve even in terms of what we do with our garbage and what we do with our land waste. We shouldn't be the ones criticizing those we might call liberal. We should be among those most concerned for taking care of God's earth. It's his earth. It's his world. We should be among those who are most concerned to take care not only of our bodies as good stewards, but of this world. But I do digress. When we see in the context, what God is showing us is, this is my earth, this is my world, so step forward in it in faith. Not with cowardice that would hold you back, but with courage and confidence to move forward. We tend to not move forward because we think that the devil owns this world. That's how a lot of the church talks about it. It's not his. He's in the process of being evicted. He's already been served his papers. He's already been bound by a chain, later to be thrown into the bottomless pit. It's not his. It's Christ's. That has a huge change in how you and I countenance this place and what we're to be doing with it, and to have confidence to step out in faith and to trust he can do great things. Remember what we studied at the beginning of this year in our annual congregational meeting, Ephesians 3. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Through the power working into us, unto the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Pardon a little bit of a paraphrase there, but he's able to do that, but particularly recognized today because it's his. He can and he is doing what he wants with what he owns. And sometimes we might say, why are you choosing to paint it that color? Why are you doing this or that? It's because it's mine. I own it. It's the one I like. I can do what I want. It's mine. And this is his. And Christ is saying, I'm going to take over the world. I'm make it holy again. I'm going to inhabit with those who are meek, that is, trusting in me and not in themselves. Not trying to conquer for themselves, but say this is Christ's and then receive it as a gift from him. So step out in faith, beloved. Step out in faith where God is leading you. You will not drown. You will walk on solid ground. You see that in the whole story. Recognize again, and I know we've emphasized this, but I think it does need to bear repeating. When do the waters part? Not until they step out. Certainly the leaders, and with the Ark of the Covenant recognizing God's presence to show us God is there, so step out. But the waters part, and I think I would challenge the leaders of the church, especially the officers, they have to step out first in faith for the others to have faith to follow. But we're showing our faith in Christ, answering his call to follow him, trusting he's gone before us, and he's already there, and he will part the waters. But he won't part them. He won't part them if we don't trust him. And we won't move forward and conquer if we don't trust him. So he's calling on us to have faith and confidence in him. We won't drown. We'll stand on solid ground. Here's another wonderful image he gives us in Revelation 10, verse 2. The image there is of Jesus Christ presently, not in the future, presently making the future coming to be. He is standing with his right foot upon the land. And his left foot, excuse me, I might have said hand, he's standing with his right foot upon the land and his left foot upon what? The sea. No problem. He's already standing there. He doesn't sink. You won't sink. So he calls upon you, follow me. We need to have more faith like Peter to see him walking on the stormy waves and to step out and say, Lord, let me come to you. And then if we feel like we're sinking because we can get scared to cry out, Lord, save me. And he lifts us back up out of the waters, brings us to him, and then walks with us back to the boat. I think of this line that I've often found to be such a helpful lyric in a song, I Will Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. I will trust in you. Why? For among a number of reasons. One of them is because there's not a place that I'll go you haven't already been, that you aren't already there. And that's often what causes us to be afraid to move forward as persons and as a people, because we feel as if that place we haven't been is some scary place, but God is there. God already's been there. God's there saying, come on into the water. It's fine. I'll be here with you. It won't be as scary as you think. And don't use it as an excuse to get to where I'm actually calling you. I'm going to take you into that promised land, and you are going to have battles, and you're going to win because I'll be there with you. There's not a place where I'll go, Lord, of all the earth. You've not already stood, and where you're not already standing. And this includes the deep, dark waters he often calls us to pass through on our journey. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Even as in this time the Jordan is overflowing, they will not overflow his church. So wherever he brings us through, the waters may seem to be overthrowing and we feel like we're about to be swept away. Just step out and watch him part the waters. He's there waiting for you to follow. And he's got even bigger and better things for you, though there'll be more battles on the other side. But remember, this is what he calls us to on the way to the eternal promised land. You know, fear of failure will often paralyze you from moving. That can be something that is contagious. It can be contagious in a church. It can spread so fast, this idea of feel of failure and a lack of belief. And thus a lack to move forward. I mean, isn't that the whole story in many ways of the book of Numbers? And I am endeavoring to have us return there soon. You know, what is causing them to be in the desert and so many people die there? Just a lack of believing to step into the promised land. So they don't. And so many times along the way, all this death and all this loss is related to just a lack of believing, a lack of following Jesus. Trusting and moving forward. A fear of drowning can keep you from dipping your toes in the water. And when you do, you find all of a sudden you put your toe in the water and you see the water part. Just like the Red Sea, these big, amazing waters, just no problem for God. They just walk on dry land now, and they all did. Now remember, millions of people, man, woman, and child, all their possessions and animals, big, just try to imagine this amazing exodus now passing through the next generation into the promised land, because God's there. He owns it all. No problem. In fact, go with a sense of claiming your stake, because it's his, and you are his. He's the Lord of all the earth, and he is your Lord. The word Lord is lower O-R-D, it's Adonai. We've studied that name before, but it has the idea of master, ruler. He is the master of the universe. He is certainly the Lord over all the earth. And so there's no problem stepping out and trusting that he'll take care of it all. But to step out in faith, you need to see that God is there before you. God is your Father, and He owns it all. So act like it, beloved, as you go along your life's journey. As we go along our journey at this phase of the life of the church, let's act like it. Let's show we believe He is the Lord of all the earth, including this property, including this people, including of what He would call upon us to do now with it. And do it with the confidence of Psalm 50 and with a response of praise of Psalm 50 that we sang, verses 10 through 14. I give to you in part. For every beast of the forest, God says, is mine. And the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, another name we've looked at, and call upon me, notice this, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We can't be so tempted to get afraid and run from the plan that God is purposing on us on. He holds before us and says, I am the Lord of all the earth. The world is mine. I got it covered. Step out in faith. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Don't abandon the direction I'm giving you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And officers, lead the people to call upon the Lord in day of trouble. Step out in faith ahead and show them God is with us and God is leading and guiding us. And trust that He says, I will deliver you all and you will glorify me. And see, isn't that the greatest thing? When they start to come into the promised land, all the other people groups are amazed and nervous and worried. Why? Because they have heard about all that God has done, delivering them through the Red Sea, delivering them from Egypt. God shows His glory by delivering His people through all kinds of things that would seem impossible. But when He delivers us through, He shows His glory to the world that others like Rahab may get on the gospel train before it's too late. Her world crumbled around her, but that was okay because she already said, please take me with you. I know that your Lord is the Lord of all the earth. So she wasn't buried in the rubble of Jericho. Rather, she continued on and took over the promised land with God's promised people. Beloved, this song, Psalm 50, is a song you can take with you all the way to the new heavens and the new earth. You could say all the way to the bank. He's already given you the trust. You have all the earth. It's in your name because it's in the name of Christ. So I remind you of Psalm 37, verse 11, said several times in different ways and as applied by Christ in Matthew 5, verse 5. How blessed you are, though to the world you look completely cursed. Actually, you're blessed. Why? Because at the end of the day, because the Lord of all the earth is your Lord, you will inherit the earth. The world will not. The world will be sent out of the earth. They will no longer be allowed to inhabit it and abuse it. They will be sent off of it. The meek will inherit the earth. That is, Christians inherit all things in Christ, the Son of the Lord of all the earth. Christ is taking back all the earth for His Father right now, and He will give it to His Father's children. Thus, beloved, rest assured, you will inherit the earth. And this is the message for you, to encourage you to move forward and take it with the Lord as He so directs. Because the Lord is the Lord, because your Lord is the Lord of all the earth, you will inherit the earth. Beloved, may we together step out in faith, because we trust and believe that to be so. Let us pray. You are Lord of all the earth. Jesus, you are taking all the earth back for your Father. O triune God, you made the heaven, the seas, the earth, all that in them is.
You own it all.
You own the hills. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. There's no place where the banner should not be risen, Jehovah Nissi. There's no place where the banner should not already stand in our hearts, at least before our eyes. This is my Father's world. Lord, as we travel, as you bring us to new experiences and places, even simply around our homes, as you take us into new experiences and you lead us together and you lay another scary body of water before us. And in this case, it would seem to be moving more rapidly. Yet help us to see this is simply the next place you will cause us to pass through together to show that you are Lord over all the earth. And you lead your people still. As we call on you, you will deliver us. And in fact, what Satan would want us to see as something to cause us to stop and move back, in fact, you want us to see this as an opportunity to see you are still with us. And you are bringing us into the promised land. And you are conquering it all in Christ. Lord, let us walk according to this promise. Let us be seen to walk with God wherever you will lead us, Lord Jesus. As you call us to follow you, let us step out in faith and let us trust that you will show the waters to be moving away from our feet as soon as we step in. And we can look ahead because you're already there saying, come in, I'll hold you. You won't drown. Just as the child can step into the water and trust the Father to take them safely through. Forgive us, Lord, for our weak faith that really isn't childlike enough. We're so childish sometimes because we don't have enough of a childlike faith. Lord, let us jump in and let us see the amazing things you do when we do. Let us step out of the boat to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and see that not only can you part the waters, but you can make us walk on top of them, even in the storms and waves, because you are there and walking with us. And Lord, let us not sink because of our lack of faith, but lift our eyes back up to you and cry out, Lord, save me. And find that you will, because you are the Lord over all the earth, including not only the land, but also the sea. Increase our faith as you bring us through such moments. Show us in new ways that you will always be with us to pass through the waters. You will always be with your church to bring us through rivers, and they will never overflow us. And the promised land indeed will never be destroyed by a flood. Effectively, there will be no more sea. And the new Jerusalem will come down, where you've been preparing a place for us all along. And this earth that you've already come down to, Lord Jesus, and become the mediator as a God-man, where you've already been, the grave you've already conquered. And so you will raise us up and you will let us inherit the earth. And on that day, for the rest of our lives, there'll be no fear. There'll be nothing that seems impassable to us. There'll be no danger and there'll be no need really for faith because we'll be there. We'll have what we hope for. We'll have it. In the meantime, you are our help because you already have it all. Lord, let us take our eyes off ourselves and set them on our Heavenly Father, the Lord of all the earth, and on Christ the Lord, who has already begun the process of taking it back and conquering the principalities of this world. And though we are not of it, we are in it. And you're moving us through it to call others to come along and be rescued before the walls of this world come tumbling down upon them. Let us walk and circle the earth with faith, hollering out praises to you, trusting that in your perfect time, you will bring it down and give it to us. We need only walk in faith and proclaim your ownership, and as we'll see tonight, your right to rule, for you are also the God of heaven, and you reign. And you are reigning. Lord, indeed, quicken us, strengthen us, embolden us, not in ourselves, but in you and in your call on us to follow you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all your people said, Amen.